Amen. What a blessing it is to have a close walk with the Lord, that's for sure. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 12. Genesis in chapter 12. Now, normally on Wednesday night, we've been going through and studying the life of Noah, and it has been a tremendous series, and we've learned quite a bit from the life of Noah, and it's a powerful series. Tonight, however, even though it's somewhat an extension of the study of the life of Noah, we're going to be presenting the Faith Promise Missions budget to you tonight. But I think we need to understand why we have a Faith Promise, why we have a missions program in the church, why it's so very important that we continue to do what God has commanded the New Testament church to do, and that is to go into all the world with the Great Commission. And I think it starts all the way back in the very beginning. And we've studied much about the old world and how the direction the old world went to the place where the only one who still wanted to call upon God and walk with God was Noah and his family. And God, through grace, saved Noah through the ark, and his family destroyed the world. And we know that they had been having children. They were multiplying on the earth for almost 1,700 years. So there would have been many people on the earth at that time. And that's the old world. And God destroyed the old world with the flood. And then we find that he started all over again. He started over again with a covenant that he made with Noah. And we studied that. And the covenant that he made with Noah, he gave him a sign that would remind him of that covenant, and it would be for all people until the earth would be destroyed later on in the prophecy, and that was the rainbow. And last week we studied the rainbow and how what a blessing that is. Don't let anybody or any group take that away from you. When you see the rainbow, you can understand why it's there, and it was a sign of the covenant of God that he would not destroy the earth again with a flood. And so what a blessing that was to Noah. It should have been a blessing to every other one that's born on planet Earth since that time. Well, as they continued to populate the Earth, we find that human nature again started taking man an opposite direction of God. And so we come to the place here in Genesis in chapter 12, as man was going a different direction. God had promised he would not destroy the world again with the flood. And yet we find that he wanted to have a representation of what was right on the earth. And so we find here, and as man was rejecting God and the man himself was going a different direction, that God called Abraham. And God would call Abraham for a special reason. And we find here the Abrahamic covenant given. But we're going to go ahead and stand with us tonight. We're going to read Genesis chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3, because as we understand faith promise giving, we know that God has a purpose and a plan for every generation. And going all the way back to Noah and his family and moving forward as we would start populating the earth, the population of planet Earth would grow. And now it's grown tremendously to this particular point right here. When God says, I want a representation on earth that would represent me, that would represent what I stand for, represent my holiness, represent the truth. And so he calls Abraham here. And so let's read here Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. That would become the nation Israel. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, Lord, I just pray that you would meet with us this evening, and Lord, as we go over some things that would lead us to understanding why we even have Faith Promise Mission, that God, that each one here would be able to see clearly your plan for this generation that you have us in, and that we might accomplish what you have us here to accomplish. Bless the preaching and the teaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, we find here that God's focus was on the very last, he says, "And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Can I tell you that God's focus has always been on all humanity? Man was the crown of creation. And even when man would reject God, it was never God's will that man would reject him. And he would do everything to try to help man to look to him. And so we find here, and the population on earth had been growing since Noah. It started out again a second time, the new world with Noah and his family. And now it's grown tremendously. And we come to this next junction, and that would be outside of the Noetic covenant. Now we find the Abrahamic covenant. And so here we find that God calls out Abraham and he says, I'm not going to destroy the world. The world is starting to go the same way that it did before I destroyed it the first time. But I've given you my covenant. I've given you a promise that I will not destroy the earth with a flood again. And so he says, I am going to call you out, and I'm going to call out a nation, and I'm going to use them to represent me to the rest of the world. And that's why we find that God called Abraham, and that's why the nation of Israel would be established. Israel in the Old Testament would be established to represent God to a lost and dying world, to a world that Satan had blinded the eyes to God and had allowed them to have wrong thinking and going in a totally different direction. If it would have been the old world, that would have been the direction they went before God destroyed the world. But now we find that God has given us a Noahic covenant, and he has promised that would not take place again. He starts now revealing to us some future through the prophets. He reveals the future prophecies and what would take place. But God called out Abraham to establish this people that would represent him for one purpose, that all families, every man, woman, and child would have an opportunity to know that there is a God. God's focus is on humanity. God's focus has always been not just on one nationality of people, but God's focus has been on the world. It is for God so loved the world. That's all humanity. God is a holy God, and he judges the world according to righteousness. He judged the old world according to righteousness. He found only one family on earth after all that time that was still righteous, and that was Noah. That's what we've been studying. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. How we need to have that highlighted in America today. How we need to take that verse and share with everyone and anyone that would look at it and read it. Because that's exactly what God does. Righteousness exalteth a nation. It brings the blessings of God upon a nation. But sin, and not according to man, but sin according to God and his word, is a reproach to any people. And so we find that there was a people that had turned to sin and turned away from God. And so God says, I'm going to call out a people that would follow me. And through Israel, they would be able to have a representation of God so that the world would see. And what a blessing Israel was. When Israel was walking with God and Israel was living righteously, there was not a nation on planet Earth that could stand before them. God gave them victory after victory after victory. Why? Because righteousness exalteth a nation. And the other nations of the world feared Israel because of Israel's God. Well, we have to fast forward to be able to get through this tonight, all right? Fast forward to Galatians in chapter 4. Now we have 2,000 somewhat years later, we have the coming of the Messiah that Israel looked for, that the prophets of old prophesied concerning. And now here in Galatians in chapter 4, the time was ready. God has a plan and a purpose for every generation. 2,000 years ago, there was the beginning of this new generation. The Bible says in Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 4, But when the fullness of the time was come, and God's timing, and God has a purpose for every generation, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Wow. That's the fulfillment of prophecy. That's exactly what John was presenting when he presented to us John 3:16. For God so loved the world. His focus has always been on all humanity. His focus has always been on mankind. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to that place of repentance. And so now we find that it was the fullness of time. He would send His only begotten Son, who would come to be the last of the blood sacrifices. He would sacrifice, it would be one last blood sacrifice forever. Never again would there be a need for a blood sacrifice, because the Old Testament blood sacrifice was preparing humanity for an ultimate blood sacrifice, which would be the Lord Jesus Christ. So God sent His Son in time. Jesus came as Israel's Messiah to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies, but He would be the Savior of all mankind. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile, to all people. But He would come as a Jew. He would come to fulfill Old Testament prophecies. But He would come not just for Israel. He would come for all the world, for all humanity. So God sent His Son. Jesus, while He was here, prepared His apostles. There was 12 apostles. One was not truly an apostle, but he was a son of perdition. And so we find that there was 11 apostles that truly understood and that He trained and prepared so that they would be ready to take over during the apostolic age and to continue the work that He would have established concerning the New Testament church. So Jesus prepared His apostles and established His church for this New Testament church age. Jesus would usher in the New Testament church age. And so in doing that, in Matthew chapter 16, look there with me. Now all this is about missions. It really is. I think we need to have an overall understanding. And it goes right along with Noah and the covenant that God made with Noah. And the direction that humanity would have gone if it had not have been for the representation of Israel in the Old Testament. We would have the very same thing as when God destroyed the world, because all humanity would have turned a different direction. But now God has established a people, the people that would live by a different standard than the rest of the world, Israel, which would lead us into this New Testament church age when Christ Himself would come. It was Old Testament preparation for the coming of Christ. I often say this because it's so true. The Bible is really not that difficult to understand. A 3-point outline of the Bible will help you to understand it. The whole Old Testament is Jesus is coming. The first 4 books in the New Testament, the Gospels, Jesus is here. And from Acts to the book of Revelation, Jesus is coming again. Amen? The theme of the entire Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming, He's here, He's coming again. And that's what the Bible tells us. If you break it down, very simple. It doesn't have to be that confusing, amen, but it's very simple when you understand it as a whole. But Jesus now, He's come, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. The Bible says, He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father." God wanted the whole world to know. "My Father, which is in heaven, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," and that's the faith that you just acknowledged there, "I will build my church." Whose church is it? It's Christ's church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And not only that, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom." He will give to His church. God works through the church in this New Testament church age. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. He needed to get around and get his jobs accomplished, get what He came to do accomplished, amen? But the idea was He came to establish His church. After the resurrection, Acts in chapter 1 led into the apostolic age. The apostolic age lasted as long as the apostles were alive. When the last apostle died, the apostolic age was over. And at the end of the apostolic age, we had the completion of the New Testament scriptures. Now, there's no need for a lot of the things that took place as signs and wonders in the apostolic age, because now we all have a written down, preserved word of God to look to and read, and there's no need for a lot of those apostolic signs and wonders and those kind of spiritual gifts that they had at that time. Some of the spiritual gifts were only given for the apostolic age. But that apostolic age is gone. It's replaced with the full revelation of the Word of God. The church now has the full revelation of the Word of God. Praise the Lord for that. And so we find here in Acts in chapter 1, this is exactly what the Bible teaches. Acts in chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." He says, I'm going to bring it all together for you. It's what Jesus began to both to do and to teach. "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Okay, so before he ascended back into heaven, he met with them. In verse 3 it says this, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So he met with the apostles and instructed them on what they were to do to carry on the New Testament church that he established. And they prepared disciples after themselves. After we find the completion of the Word of God, now we find the church has been established. Jesus Christ has come to do what he came to do. Now he's ascended to heaven, and now he's instructed the apostles. After that, we find the Bible was completed, and the commission had been given. What was the commission? Well, go back to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. What is the work of the church? God has a purpose for every generation. God has a purpose for this New Testament church age. It has been going on for some 2,000 years. I don't know how much longer it will continue. It will continue until God calls his church up in a rapture. Amen. Until that time, he's going to work through the church. And the church is focused on doing what God has left the church here to do. He has furnished the church with his word. He has furnished the church with the Holy Spirit of God that will indwell within every believer, that will empower the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, that will go with you as you go and speak the words of God. The Holy Spirit of God will use that word, and he will convict the hearts of others that will listen. So we find here in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That means focus on me and what I've established. And he says, Jesus, in verse 19, he says, "Go ye therefore. What I have come and established, that is what's most important here today. That for throughout this church age, this is what you focus on. Go ye." That he's talking to the church that is established. The church is made up of every born again believer that God brings together and plants in the church, the body which is the church, is Christ's church. And so as God planted you here, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Don't ever doubt it. No matter what the world around you does, no matter what you're facing in the world that we live in, do what I've called you to do. And continue to do it until I call you home. Amen. So the Bible was completed. The commission has been given. And it is now to be passed on to every generation of the New Testament. Look what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hopefully you're taking this in. This is bringing us to where we're at today in our Faith Promise Missions budget. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." God's grace is sufficient for whatever it is that He's called us to do. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," the same. Not a watered down version. Amen. It's the same thing that Jesus passed to His apostles, that passed to the disciples, that are to be passed to every generation following. And the Bible hadn't changed. See, before the end of the apostolic age, He had it completed. The full revelation of God for this New Testament church age. Completed, written down, preserved by God, even up to the day, and it will continue to be preserved. And so He says, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to do what? Teach others also." I thank God that there was some men come into my life that passed down the very same truths. And there were men that was in their lives that passed down the very same truths. And there were men in their lives. And it's a perpetuation. And it will link all the way back to Christ. Can I tell you, when you come into this independent fundamental Baptist church and you hear the Word of God being preached, you're hearing the very same things preached that Christ preached 2,000 years ago. And right after the apostolic age, when we had it written down, every preacher that is worth his salt, that has been taught by Christ's disciples passing it down, will have preached the very same things. For 2,000 years, Christ's church has been preaching this very truth right here. Amen. It's been passed down to this generation. In America, it's been passed down since 1776. The pulpits of America in the early years preached this Bible right here. Influenced the government, changed the laws. I mean, it was this Bible that was there when they were made the Constitution of the United States of America. It's this Bible that they looked to develop the laws that we live by today. And the pulpits of God, Christ's church, has thundered out the very words that we're preaching and teaching again still today. Now it's 2015. 21st century. In the year 2015 to 2016, just another year, we've got to make sure that we're doing our part another year. Then after this year, if the Lord does not call the church home, then next year we'll have another Faith Promise Missions budget and say, let's continue another year. And let's continue another year. Until one of these years, we're going to be caught up together with the Lord and and our work will be done. Are we doing our part? That's what I'm looking at here tonight. This could be the last. But if it's not the last, we must make sure that we're doing our part. For all of us to be here tonight, there have been those that have done their part in past generations. Amen. Every past generation has done what God has called them to do. They have done their part. And now it's up to you and I, those who believe in God, those who know the Scriptures to be true, to continue to do our part. Don't pass it off until God calls you home. As long as you have breath in your lung, listen to me, God has a purpose for you, and you have a part in continuing passing it on. Every child needs to be taught that there is a God and that Christ's church is important. I believe that's what he meant when he was commanding us as families to raise the children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, raise the children to know that there is a God, raise our children to understand that this is a New Testament church age, raise our children to know that God's word is the Bible. That's what we have to look for, to, and that's what we have as a final authority, not the preacher, not the church, not the denomination, not the government. It is the Bible that represents God and the final authority that we look to. And we need to raise our children to understand it's God that we look to, and God has a purpose for every generation to continue to do what he's called us to do. Every child needs to be raised to tithe to the church. Why? Because if they're raised, then they will continue to support the work that God's established, the church. Every child needs to be encouraged to give to missions. Because if they're taught why we give to missions, then they will have a desire to see the world reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we work our faith promise missions through our Sunday school, because we want every child from as early age possible to understand what giving to missions is all about. Every Sunday school class is going to have a goal, and that goal is going to meet whatever class they turn in through Faith Promise Missions, and the Sunday school teachers are going to encourage them every Sunday to give to Faith Promise Missions. Why? So we can pass on what's been passed on to us, what's been established in the very words of God, so that we'll raise a next generation of young people who will believe that there is a God, who will support the true church, and want to continue to see the work that God's called us to do accomplished. That's why it's so important. And I tell you, as we do that, righteousness exalteth the nation. What is righteousness? What's right in God's eyes? If the church fails to do what God has the church here to do, then it's no longer righteous. But sin is a reproach to any and all, if you will, people. Are we doing our part? The challenge tonight, before we get into our Faith Promise Missions budget, are we doing our part? It's our turn. All those saints up to now have done their part. God has us here as a Lighthouse Baptist Church to do our part. I trust we are. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute.